The following program has been paid for by your weekly checkup.
It's 9 o'clock, and the WMUZ Life and Finance team is on the air. To make sure we're all headed in the right direction, we at WMUZ have assembled a team of experts. And every night, a different expert is here to give advice about the issues that impact your life.
We hope you find the information on today's program to be inspiring. If you've been told you have to live with pain or a chronic health problem, we encourage you to call 866-521-WELL and make an appointment with Dr. Lazar, the host of your weekly checkup. Dr. Jonathan Lazar is an upper cervical doctor who believes you can live the life God intended for you. The number again is 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL.
Welcome to your weekly checkup. I'm Dr. Lazar, and we've got Jaden in studio with us. And we have a very special guest, a dear friend of mine who is making a huge impact, and we're super excited to be sharing all this with you. So we're going to be talking about the issue of trauma, and that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But in this context, what we're talking about is trauma that is not necessarily physical, and so that's not as commonly talked about. We're going to talk about it tonight, and we're going to take your calls live. Our number tonight is 866-521-WELL, 866-521-9355. All right, so we're going to welcome our very special guest, Dr. Amy, from Biology of Trauma. Dr. Amy, welcome to your weekly checkup.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It is wonderful having you, and it's been a minute. So we are going to be talking trauma. We're super excited, and we're going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to get right into it.
Hey, this is Dr. Lazar from your weekly checkup on WMUZ Tuesday nights at 9. You shouldn't waste a ton of money covering up symptoms. Whether or not you're in the Ann Arbor area or if you're one of our out-of-town members, our office and our team is a team you can count on. We dig to uncover what's going on with your body and determine whether we can help you or whether we need to find another type of specialist for you. Since every situation is different, we make sure we understand what's causing your trouble so we can help your body heal and thrive. That way, you can get back to enjoying your life again for real this time. Schedule an appointment now by calling 866-521-9355. 866-521-WELL.
Do you constantly live with pain? Does getting out of bed seemingly take all of your energy? Are you just plain tired? Tired of searching for answers and tired of not living the life that God intended for you? Then you need to call 866-521-WELL and speak with Dr. Jonathan Lazar. Dr. Lazar is an upper cervical doctor who specializes in helping those who are in chronic pain. Call 866-521-WELL and make an appointment to visit Dr. Lazar's office in Ann Arbor. If you mention you heard about him on WMUZ, your first consultation will be absolutely free. That's 866-521-WELL. Also, you can go to Dr. Lazar's website at yourweeklycheckup.com. Be on the radio. Call Dr. Lazar with your question now. 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL.
Hi, this is Dr. Lazar from your weekly checkup, Tuesday nights at 9 on WMUZ. Did you know that 62% of our patients that visit us in Ann Arbor experience fewer surgeries and outpatient procedures? 62%. We'd love to see if we could help you the same way. Our number is 866-521-9355, 866-521-WELL, or yourweeklycheckup.com.
We hope you find the information on today's program to be inspiring. If you've been told you have to live with pain or a chronic health problem, we encourage you to call 866-521-WELL and make an appointment with Dr. Lazar, the host of Your Weekly Checkup. Dr. Jonathan Lazar is an upper cervical doctor who believes you can live the life God intended for you. The number again is 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL. If you're tired of searching for solutions for your condition, make an appointment right now at 866-521-WELL or at yourweeklycheckup.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Lazar from Your Weekly Checkup, Tuesday nights at 9 on WMUZ. Did you know we offer a custom assessment where we can tell you after just one visit if your problem is fixable or not? That's right. In our Ann Arbor office, we'll offer you a complimentary consultation, and if we think you're a candidate for care, we'll discuss next steps for our custom assessment. That's a 13-point posture IQ assessment, hospital-grade digital x-rays with proprietary views, a 3-technology Insight neurological scan, and a second-day custom doctor's report of findings. The complimentary consultation is the first part of that, and we'll discuss if you're a candidate for our custom assessment. Give us a call at 866-521-WELL, 866-521-9355.
Call and speak with Dr. Lazar at 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL.
Welcome back to Your Weekly Checkup. So excited to be with you tonight. We've had a little bit of a tech challenge, which is, it happens. But, hey, we're excited to be here. So, Dr. Amy, welcome to Your Weekly Checkup. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'd love for our guests to hear about what it is you're working on.
Yeah, you know, I always get excited talking about trauma, which is interesting. That's not the response that I get from most people, but there's so much that we can do. And so for me, trauma is a very solutions focused conversation. So I love talking about trauma. And I never thought that I would become a person that helped other people with trauma. I was actually headed for a conventional physician practice. I started medical school when I was 21 and got a master's in biochemistry because I'm one of those science nerds. And then my life changed. And what changed my life was just as I was finishing my master's in biochemistry, I decided to foster parent. Never had the intention to adopt, but when they placed Miguel with me, there was a very hard moment when I realized what his life would be if I did not get him out of the foster care system.
Sure.
So I made that decision, and that decision has changed the rest of my life, personally and professionally. And this is what I do now, is I help people address stored trauma in the body. And I am firmly believing that it takes an integrative approach. One modality will never help us actually fully get to the stored trauma in our body. And nor does talking about it and talking about the story. It changes our biology. But what happens is that then our body and our biology gets stuck in that trauma state. and we live there for most of our lives unless we know what to do.
Yeah, so that's really interesting, because what do people have to do to look at it differently? Let me ask it another way. Sometimes people they'll say they are taking this drug and that drug and the other drug and talking to that person and doing that thing and whatever. And then there are other people who say, no, there's a different way. For whatever reason, there seems like there's a different way. And it seems to me like there's a pretty big dichotomy. I mean, I don't know that people are in both camps a whole lot, but what is it that is making people say, hey, we got to look at this differently?
I think it's understanding the science of trauma, Dr. Lazar. It's actually understanding that our body has a physiological trauma response. So there are changes that happen in our biology, in our neurobiology, when we go into both a stress response and then a trauma response is when we get overwhelmed and we're unable to respond to a stress. And I think it has been traditionally thought that all of that just happened in our heads. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is just, well, we obviously need to talk about it and process mm-hmm. it, because that's how we get it out of our head. Not realizing that, oh, like this was an actual change in my physiology. And that means that there was adrenaline that was released that never got discharged. And until that process is completed, that adrenaline continues to cause damage. And what happens is that it continues to create the perception for our nervous system that we're still in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Never got the message that whatever it was that we experienced is over. And that's why people get stuck in either anxiety or depression and overwhelm. And it's going to change all of our biology. And so here's where the medications come into play. Because it changes our biology, changes our serotonin, changes dopamine, changes glutamate, changes brain inflammation, gut inflammation. And so then when we go to the doctor and we say, I'm feeling anxious, their response is, oh, well, I know the medication for anxiety. Here's an SSRI. Or, oh, you're having sleep problems. I've got just the medication for that. Here's a sleep medication, not realizing that there's a driver for these symptoms. And yes, those are going to be the downstream symptoms, but that's all they are. They're just the downstream symptoms, and they're truly just band-aids then until we can get to the nervous system that is still stuck in danger mode.
That makes sense. So we talk about a lot with patients in our office, and Jaden's good with this one. She gets it, is that we have to do things that are physiologically compatible with our bodies. In other words, we don't need to cover it, numb it, freeze it, burn it, remove it necessarily. I mean, you know, hopefully not, but at least initially I can say confidently that we don't need to start with that. And so we, you know, an example we'll give is, hey, if we moved to Colorado, or if we met up in Colorado for a symposium in skiing, right, our red blood cell count would be different at a different altitude, and we wouldn't go see a doctor for that. That would just be a normal physiological response. And I think when we make pain the bad guy, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, when pain is the bad guy and not the warning sign, we start to get in a lot of trouble, I think. I've seen it and experienced it.
Yeah, that's the challenge that so many people are uncomfortable with, feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as anything uncomfortable, whether that's physical pain or that's emotional pain, then that's when the coping mechanisms come out, and we're doing anything to stuff it, avoid
right.
it, distract
right.
ourselves. And then, of course, we know that that just piles on the damage to our physiology. And so the solution really is, well, how can we actually take those as warning signs, like you're saying? But the first step is actually being able to be comfortable enough with actually feeling that, and then being able to stay present to it and being like, okay, what's the message here for me? But as you're saying, these are all normal physiological responses. There's nothing that the body does that's not the appropriate response.
Exactly right.
And so, you know, emotional trauma then at a cellular level is so similar to physical trauma, where if you are jumping on a trampoline, you're putting stress on your bones, for example, but that's a stress on your bones and that actually makes them stronger. Whereas if you go and do something that is beyond their capacity to hold, you break the bone.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing with the body. If the body has what it needs, it heals the broken bone. You don't have to go to therapy about it. You don't have to talk to a therapist. You don't have to process it. When the body has what it needs, it heals itself. It knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful innately design of our physiology. And so if we experience a emotional trauma, psychological trauma, and we're not able to get over it, that means that our body hasn't had what it needed to do the healing process, because when it has what it needs, it will heal even all of our deepest emotional wounds, just like it will heal a broken bone.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to your weekly checkup with Dr. Lazar. Jaden is in studio and we are with Dr. Amy from Biology of Trauma. Really, really fascinating work. We're taking calls live, 866-521-WELL, 866-521-9355. Now, Jaden and I have had initially, unfortunately, and then I think maybe as time goes on, maybe more fortunately, have been in lots of conversations about a specific trauma, and I will let her, you know, take that as far as she wants. But what we're talking about specifically is what happens when there is physical and emotional trauma in the same event. That's kind of, you know, that's a big one. So we want to get to that. Jaden, I'm gonna hand it off to you. And, you know, to the extent that you're comfortable sharing, I know you've been super brave about stuff and we're super proud, but this is something that is super important. And Dr. Amy, we couldn't be more honored to, you know, be sharing any of this. Jaden hasn't shared any of her story publicly, and we couldn't be more honored to be doing that with you, talking about the work you do and the biology of trauma. And we're going to tell people how they can work with you as well. And so before we get into anything, I don't know how detailed it will be, but if you're listening or watching online, I want you to know that the content we're going to talk about can be very triggering. And so, you know, we're going to give you a second if you want to switch or turn off or clear the room or whatever. You know, we want to make sure that we're honoring the people that are listening. So anyway, so Jaden, with why don't you share, to the extent you're comfortable, what it is that you're working through?
Thank you for having me. I was really excited actually for this topic because, oh my goodness, it's been a little over a year now already.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in karate for 13 years, and I had my second degree black belt, and I was so excited because I was having fun, I was staying in shape, I was involved in a community, and I was preparing to learn how to defend myself if ever needed, and just last year, I was raped by my karate teacher, and that was both physical and emotional trauma. Like, just the amount of emotions and pain that came with that, and that I'm still working through, is very heavy and difficult to deal with. I have been getting adjusted minimum once a week since then. And, well, before then, but specifically once a week. Because my body was no longer holding adjustments. There was no fight or flight. Like, I was still in...
Freeze.
Yeah, freeze. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And my body, even still to this day, I'm very jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very hesitant. I'm not alone ever. And it made me, the ironic thing to me was that the person who taught me everything I knew about how to defend myself was the one person I couldn't defend myself against.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when I heard we were doing this topic, I was really excited because I wanted to share that you can get through anything and it's okay. I was scared to talk about it. I didn't know what would happen to me or if he knew that I was talking about it. And my parents have been here. My grandparents have been here. My friends are still my friends. They're here for me. They listen to me. And it's a different stage of life now for me. But I'm okay.
Yeah, that's really, I'm super proud of you. That's really cool. Thank you for being so brave, and your story is still being written, which is really, really cool. So, Dr. Amy, we our big question with all this is, what do we do when it's physical and emotional and trust is, like, all the things, right? Like, those are the things. What does our body need at that point? What do we need to do? What helps us be our best, either in spite or because of this, whatever this is to people listening, you know?
Yeah. And as we look at what makes a trauma, there are three qualities of an event or an experience that will make it a trauma. And that is that it is overwhelming. It's overwhelming, meaning in the moment, we can't process what's happening. And in that sense, the other quality is that it's unbelievable.
Mm.
Never saw this coming. Never mm-hmm. thought or imagined that this could happen.
Mm.
So there's that overwhelming, but in an unbelievable type of way. And that is what brings the shock, is there's usually a shock to that initial freeze moment where it's like, I can't believe this is happening. Cannot believe this is happening. And I wasn't prepared for it. And I don't know what to do. And that's why it overwhelms us and we don't do anything and we freeze. But then there's this third quality, and that is that it is unbearable. And when something is unbearable, that just means that it creates within us in that moment physical sensations that we would normally just say are feelings and emotions. All feelings and emotions are a physical sensation in our body. That's how we know if we feel happy. For example, our chest feels open when we're happy. That's how we know that we feel happy. We don't normally associate that because we're not normally that connected with our body, but all emotions, anger, fear, sadness, joy, they're all produced by physical sensations in our body. And when that physical sensation in our body becomes unbearable, what we do, and I want to say what we do, what our brain does, what our nervous system does for us, is it dissociates. And dissociation is always a part of a trauma response in our body because it's so unbearable to feel what we're feeling in that moment. And when we can't escape, it's our way to escape. It's our way to escape mentally. It's our way to escape emotionally, so that the intensity of that awfulness that we're feeling is just bearable enough so that it allows us to get through something that we never imagined that we would be able to get through. And that's how we get into the trauma response. But now our job is to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most people miss. And that's what most people have no idea what to do. And that's why they get stuck in that place, which when we get stuck, that's when we have all of these elements of the trauma response. We stay hypervigilant. We startle easily. We still feel numbed out sometimes. We can still find ourselves zoning out and checking out because all of these elements of that trauma response stay wired into our nervous system. And so how to get out of that, I'm going to tell you with one word. We've got to complete. It never completed that trauma response. And there's three things that the body needs to complete a trauma response. Three things. And to share those three things, I'm going to share an analogy with you of a kid on a playground. And there's a high slide, and he's climbed up all of those rings in order to stand at the top of the slide. He's so excited. He's small, 3 years old, 4 years old. His mom is there sitting on the bench watching him. All is good. All is good. And then he slips. And as he's falling, he has that overwhelming, unbelievable, and unbearable fear of what is happening. And so his body goes into the trauma response because of those three qualities. He hits the ground, and so there's that additional element of the physical trauma, not just emotional, but the physical trauma. And in this story, we'll say that he didn't break anything, but he lays there still stunned. And you lay there in a daze, and sometimes that's what people can remember that they were like in that moment of their trauma, is it feels very foggy, mm-hmm. feels very cloudy, and like I was just in a daze, and I just went through the motions. I really didn't understand what was happening. Some people have such a strong dissociation that they have like an out-of-body experience, and it's almost like they're outside of themselves watching what's happening to them. Mm. But that's a very strong form of dissociation. Most people just have that degree of everything feels like it's just in a daze. And so this kid, he's laying on the playground, and he's so in a daze that he's not even crying. He's just laying there. Now, of course, the mother comes rushing over, right? Oh my goodness, she's panicking as most mothers would do. What he needs is a very specific thing. And most people pick him up or they, you know, get him up to make sure that he's okay. And that's actually the worst thing that we can do because his body doesn't have what it needs to complete that trauma response. And when we disrupt that, then that's when his body would stay in that, I still feel like I'm free falling. Still feel like I'm free falling. And life then starts to feel overwhelming, unbelievable, and unbearable. Life, because the danger still feels like it's present. So what he needs and what every human body needs in order to come out of that experience of overwhelming, unbelievable, and unbearable are three things. One is a sense of safety. And we can't rush that. So that's why the other thing that the body needs is time. He just needs to lay there until his body catches up with what happened.
Mm.
And if we don't disrupt, what will happen naturally is that he will start to turn his head and orient to his environment as his body starts to come out. And he is naturally doing that. I'm seeking safety. Am I okay? Or am I still falling? Am I okay? And we first usually orient to our environment, and then we orient to ourselves, and we touch our body. Did I break anything? I remember when I was mountain biking a lot, had some big falls. And that's what I would do, is I would start to wake up from this daze that I was in. All right, did I break anything? No, okay, I'm okay. And we get to that place where, because we've now had that time and the ability to have the space to just let our body catch up with what happened, then our body gets the message, I'm safe now. Oh, that was hard, but it's over. It's in the past. If it doesn't have that time, then it never records it as a memory of the past. And we need our brain to be able to put it in our hippocampus and say, that was in the past. That was hard. That was horrible. And it's in the past. What happens is that it doesn't get stored as a memory of the past, and it remains our present danger.
Okay.
And so the third thing that our body needs to come out of the trauma response is energy. And this is where the biology piece becomes really important. If we have any type of mitochondrial compromise, if we have nutrient deficiencies, if we have inflammation, it will be harder for our body to get that message of, okay, it's safe to come out of the shutdown. It will look around and be like, no, we still don't have energy. We still don't have, you know, ATP is our energy in our body. We still don't have enough of that. Oh, no, we still don't have enough of magnesium, so we're still at danger. And even though it's not the emotional danger, it's an inner danger. And so it still communicates danger. And the body needs energy to do that orienting and that processing and taking in my environment to really know that I'm safe now, and that is over. If we don't have the energy, the body's just like, no, nope, like I'm just going to lay here, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to be able to have the energy to come out of this dark, bad place.
So when we're dealing with that or healing from that or processing through that, so the story you told is very relatable, Dr. Amy, and but what if it's not an incident where it's falling off and now the danger is gone? Like, what if there's a continued threat or you know, in a very real sense, what if you have to keep, like in Jaden's situation, you know, having to keep sharing her story over and over and over and over, not her story, sharing the details of what happened in hopes that justice would be served. And then it's ongoing and disappointment after disappointment after, right? And so, and I don't mean to be like belaboring it. What then if we're still laying on that playground floor and the slide is falling on top of us and it's storming and a tornado is coming and we can't get up?
I'm not sure you're going to like my answer, but I'm going to tell you my answer anyway. And our system, our social system, our justice system, our medical system is not set up for healing. It's actually set up to continue to traumatize us.
I couldn't agree more.
And that happens through the retelling of our story. Every time we retell our story, our body is back in that place.
Mm.
And so what happens is that no longer is it just that one event. Now it's been that event and every single time I've retold my story, because every time I feel all of that again, I feel overwhelmed. Mm. I feel it's like it's unbelievable and it's unbearable. I feel that. And every time we feel that, that is our body literally going into a trauma response right then.
Mm.
And so it actually compounds the problem over time. And so now what would have just been one event, now, how many times have we told our story? Now it is a mountain to our nervous system. And so I wish that the science would get into our justice system. And I know that some people are working on it. In fact,
we wish that, don't we?
I know.
Yes.
I just came back from speaking at a trauma conference in Ireland, of all places. And one of the girls who spoke there had a similar story, and she was able to work with the justice system to do something very different because of how traumatizing it was for her. Now, she is a therapist. She's a somatic therapist, in fact. And so when she started to notice her body going into a big trauma response right there in the courtroom, she was like, no, I will not do this to myself. So she felt empowered to be able to do that because of her knowledge of what was happening in her body. But eventually, and I do mean eventually, she was able to create a very different outcome where justice was served, and she was served in a very different way than what the traditional approach has been. Mm. But this is the problem. And being on the physician side of things, I worked in the ER for years, all throughout my general surgery residency. And this is what I contributed to. Girls come in, they've just been raped, and what do? I'm supposed to take their history. I'm supposed to do this stuff. And in the process, I actually contributed to their re-traumatization rather than the healing opportunity that I could have used if I had known this science and what people actually need. I remember one girl that she came into the ER, and she was around 19 or 20 years old, and she had dark black hair. She was beautiful, and she's laying in the ER bed, and I come in. I'm on vascular surgery rotation at the time, and so the ER department had called me. I'm the resident on vascular surgery at the time, and she had a knife in her forearm between her elbow and her wrist. She had a knife stuck in her arm. And yet she was just laying there as if nothing. Mm. And I asked her, what happened? I mean, I don't know how you ask someone that, right? Like how do you ask this stuff? And in the most nonchalant way, she says, I don't know. I was walking from the living room to the kitchen, and when I got into the kitchen, there was a knife in my arm. And I'm like, I don't understand. I do not understand. But she was so disconnected and still so much in that daze of a trauma response that her boyfriend had stabbed her in the arm as she was walking between the living room and the kitchen. And yet she didn't feel the pain. She didn't remember. And my healing moment could have been right there to sit with her. Just sit. Just be present and give her body the time that it needed to finally come out of that fog and be able to look around and see that she's not in the house anymore. Her boyfriend is not right there. And we're going to need to do surgery. We need to go take that knife out of her arm. But without knowing any of this, I just did what all the other healthcare practitioners and the social system and the justice system do. We just get the story. We just get the story. And we don't value time. Time. You know, when I think about some of the, the tribes, the native tribes, a lot of what they do in Africa, where when something traumatic happens, they come together and there is a dedicated time to grieve someone's passing or process something that happened, and they do it as a group, but they actually dedicate time to this. We don't do that in North America.
Sure.
We just jump back into our life. We've got school, we've got work, we've got responsibilities. We don't have time. That's the last thing that we have. And we don't give ourselves that time. And it's time in stillness. And in that stillness is when a lot of that will resurface. And to be able to stay present to it this time because if when it comes up, we dissociate again, that's just, you know, the same pattern. It's not going to shift that pattern. When those emotions come up in the stillness now, making sure that we are in a safe, contained place with someone who feels safe to us. And then we can ride that wave. And as we ride that wave, it feels awful. It feels almost unbearable, but we get to the end of that. And our body will do some things that sometimes we think is weird, so sometimes we block it. But many times, and one of the things that I had to do to process a sexual trauma when I was young, was as I learned how to give my body what it needed, there came a time when I needed to complete the self-defense movements that I didn't do back then. I'm going to say that again because that's a really big piece to helping the body come out of the trauma place. Completing the self-defense movements that we did not do back then. And the value of that is that then our muscles and our tissues can catch up with the fact that we did fight them off. We did fight them off, and we have that, what's called a somatic memory of that. And so that's the value of being able to know what our body needs, is we can actually give it what it needs, whether that's on the biology level, whether that's on a time or the somatic level.
I want to speak on what you said about the processing, because for me, I shut down and I didn't allow myself to process or even think about what had happened. I wanted to protect my brother and I wanted to protect my family. And so I didn't tell anyone for a while because I thought, you know, I don't want them to do anything to my brother.
Because he was still studying there, yeah.
And I thought it will hurt my family if they know. And what was difficult for me was I always was taught by my family that it doesn't matter what someone says to you, they're not going to hurt us. Like, we can help you get through it, we'll figure it out. The parents said, like, we want you to come to us and know that whatever happened, we can get through it. But in that moment, I was like, okay, if I don't tell them, then they're not going to hurt, so I'll be able to protect them. So I didn't tell anybody that I cared about what happened. And I actually continued to go back to the school, not because I wanted to, but absolutely no way that I was going to let anybody get close to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say how I got through it, but like I completely shut it off. I didn't think about it. The next day I went and competed in a tournament and I had to look at him in the face while he was judging me and scoring my competition.
Keyson, actually, wasn't it?
Yes. And all I could think about was like, Noah, my brother. So after I told my parents what happened, that is when it hit me. And that is when I was like jumpy. And because before I just shut myself off, there were no emotions. There were no feelings. I was just like watching myself live, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense, and that's what a lot of people describe.
Are you still with us? We're having a little bit of a tech glitch here.
I am. Okay. Yeah, there's a little bit of a delay, perhaps.
So, Jayden, that's so incredibly brave of you to, you know, to share that stuff. And, yeah, Dr. Amy's right. The justice system is a big challenge with it. And
if there's anything the justice system has taught me, is that there's a correct way to be right. And if you don't fit their specific scenario, like I had just turned 18 a couple days before, and so they said, then it wasn't rape because you were 18. So that even adds to the trauma that the people that are supposed to protect you and stand up for you, like legally, don't.
Another part of what makes a...
And we'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Dr. Lazar from Your Weekly Checkup, Tuesday nights at 9 on WMUZ. Did you know we offer a custom assessment where we can tell you after just one visit if your problem is fixable or not? That's right. In our Ann Arbor office, we'll offer you a complimentary consultation, and if we think you're a candidate for care, we'll discuss next steps for our custom assessment. That's a 13-point posture IQ assessment, hospital-grade digital x-rays with proprietary views, a 3-technology Insight neurological scan, and a second-day custom doctor's report of findings. The complimentary consultation is the first part of that, and we'll discuss if you're a candidate for our custom assessment. Give us a call at 866-521-WELL, 866-521-9355.
We hope you find the information on today's program to be inspiring. If you've been told you have to live with pain or a chronic health problem, we encourage you to call 866-521-WELL and make an appointment with Dr. Lazar, the host of Your Weekly Checkup. Dr. Jonathan Lazar is an upper cervical doctor who believes you can live the life God intended for you. The number again is 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL. Be on the radio. Call Dr. Lazar with your question now. 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL. W-E-L-L.
Hey, this is Dr. Lazar from Your Weekly Checkup, Tuesday nights at 9 on WMUZ. If you visit us in our Ann Arbor office, my team and I promise to take great care of you. We'll pay attention to the details. We're sticklers for details, so we're going to ask you a lot of questions. We're also hyper aware of cost containment, so we'll never, ever order any tests, procedures, or care that you don't absolutely need to fix your problem. We'll also make sure we're the right fit. If we can help, we'll tell you. If we can't, we'll help you find someone who can. And most importantly, we'll work as a team to finally get the results you deserve. We'll need your commitment to working as hard as we do so you can get the best results from our time together. If that sounds like a good partnership to you, give us a call at 866-521-WELL, 866-521-9355, or find us at yourweeklycheckup.com.
Do you constantly live with pain? Does getting out of bed seemingly take all of your energy? Are you just plain tired? Tired of searching for answers and tired of not living the life that God intended for you? Then you need to call 866-521-WELL and speak with Dr. Jonathan Lazar. Dr. Lazar is an upper cervical doctor who specializes in helping those who are in chronic pain. Call 866-521-WELL and make an appointment to visit Dr. Lazar's office in Ann Arbor. If you mention you heard about him on WMUZ, your first consultation will be absolutely free. That's 866-521-WELL. Also, you can go to Dr. Lazar's website at yourweeklycheckup.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Lazar from Your Weekly Checkup on WMUZ. Thank you for listening Tuesday nights at 9. Did you know that you and your friends and family can get a complimentary consultation in our office in Ann Arbor just for mentioning WMUZ? Give us a call anytime, 866-521-WELL, 866-521-9355. 521-9355. Also, be sure to check us out on the web at yourweeklycheckup.com for our podcast, and we're available anywhere social media is.
We hope you find the information on today's program to be inspiring. If you've been told you have to live with pain or a chronic health problem, we encourage you to call 866-521-WELL and make an appointment with Dr. Lazar, the host of Your Weekly Checkup. Dr. Jonathan Lazar is an upper cervical doctor who believes you can live the life God intended for you. The number again is 866-521-WELL. That's 866-521-WELL. WELL.
Hey, this is Dr. Lazar from Your Weekly Checkup on WMUZ Tuesday nights at 9. You shouldn't waste a ton of money covering up symptoms. Whether or not you're in the Ann Arbor area or if you're one of our out-of-town members, our office and our team is a team you can count on. We dig to uncover what's going on with your body and determine whether we can help you or whether we need to find another type of specialist for you. Since every situation is different, we make sure we understand what's causing your trouble so we can help your body heal and thrive. That way, you can get back to enjoying your life again for real this time. Schedule an appointment now by calling 866-521-9355. 866-521-9355. Well,
if you're tired of searching for solutions for your condition, make an appointment right now at 866-521-WELL or at yourweeklycheckup.com.
So Jaden said a few things that I think is so helpful to highlight in order for us to understand maybe if we've experienced the trauma and why we responded the way we did. There's so much guilt that we can have afterwards of, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Or even as Jaden said, I didn't talk about it at all because I wanted to protect other people. I wanted to protect my brother. And she didn't even realize how much her body was holding until she told someone. And then it was when she realized, oh, wow, like this was a really big thing. And one of the elements that is required to make something be a trauma for us is for us to feel all alone in that experience. It's not just the experience. If we go through an experience with other people, it's actually not a trauma to us. It's a stress, it's hard, but it's not trauma. But what Jaden's story really highlights is how alone she felt because she didn't feel like she could tell anyone at that time. That's what makes us feel alone, is not even knowing or having anyone that we feel safe enough to share. And without sharing that experience with someone, we feel all alone. And that disconnects us from other people. And so then we start to go into a sense of isolation. And that leads me to really highlighting an aspect of our healing that will be important. We cannot heal alone. We cannot heal in isolation. I will tell you that we need to take personal responsibility for our healing journey, but we can't heal in isolation because isolation was part of the trauma experience. At some point, we are going to need to bring in community because the ultimate healing happens when we rejoin a community, when we rejoin the world, when we feel like we can belong, where we can feel safe enough to share, where we can feel like I'm okay and I'm accepted. Trauma can make us feel so much like we don't belong. And then that can further lead us to holding our story in more. And so for Jaden to have gone through this experience and to have held it in for so long, that is what allowed, or maybe I should say, that is what prevented her from being able to complete that trauma response. And the longer that we hold something, the more wired in, it becomes into our nervous system. And then it becomes our program. And by our programming, I mean that it actually engages something called neuroplasticity. I'm sure you've heard of neuroplasticity, but it's where our nervous system actually tries to help us by making something a default, something where we just do it without thinking. And so we can actually get and stay in a trauma state that is cemented through neuroplasticity because it's just now been, well, this is how I live life. This is what I always have done. And when we look back at when did we first start to feel overwhelmed? When did we first have an experience of overwhelm? For some, for many, for most, it actually was in our early life. And we never completed that. We didn't know how to complete that. And we felt all alone in that experience back then. And we've carried that. And as we carry that into life, then other experiences add to that. And more we can see symptoms, manifestations of the effects of trauma. We don't recognize trauma by the trauma itself always, but it's the effects of trauma. So if any of this has resonated with you, first of all, be gentle with yourself. You have done the best that you can. And when we can approach it with that understanding rather than beating ourselves up, it's really the first step towards healing. And we also want to take action. We don't want to leave it at having compassion for ourselves. We want to actually do something. So first and foremost, go see Dr. Lazar. The adjustments are so helpful for the trauma healing journey, being able to bring in a sense of safety for the body. If any of this has resonated with you and you want more on the biology of trauma, maybe some of the somatic work, I also integrate parts work or different parts of us, then you can find me at biologyoftrauma.com. Biologyoftrauma.com. I'm Dr. Amy, and I have been dedicating my life to teaching online courses for people who really want to take ownership of their body and ownership of their life. And that would be the hope that I want to share with you, that it does not matter how old you are or how young you are, like Jaden, that there is always hope and you can do the work today to have a better tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us.